Welcome to Version, episode number 6. I'm pleased today to have as my guest Michelle Marley. Michelle is from Newfoundland and Labrador, and she has some unique challenges in her province. It is a remote geography, one of the least populated areas of all of the country that we have here in Canada. And the result of that is it really does present some interesting opportunities for us in terms of how we move things around the province, the way we operate, and what we're able to do. You've got a combination of very urban and very rural communities. And the result of all of this is that we end up with a challenge with respect to the logistics and some things that we'll find, I think, quite interesting in terms of what Michelle has to do in order to recycle safely and securely our electronics. Tell me a little bit about the colored doors. What's the deal with the colored doors in Newfoundland? Because they're so beautiful. Every time I've been there, I notice they're all fantastic when I look around.
It's East Coast lifestyle. We're really relaxed. We like our colors. We have winter for a long time when there is no color. So artificial color is good too.
It really is terrific to see it when you go through there. So the 10-year anniversary, it is now really a milestone in terms of what's gone on in Newfoundland and Labrador. Talk to me a little bit about what that looks like, how people in Newfoundland and Labrador are perceiving the program, and the fact that you've reached this milestone in Newfoundland and Labrador.
We're really proud to have provided this level of service for residents and businesses in the province for over a decade. We will be celebrating the event on May 31st. We are planning on hosting an on-site event with Evergreen Recycling, one of our long-term partners in the program. Our mobile classroom will be there. We're going to have a local elementary class attend, our future recyclers, showing them the importance of what we do and their contribution to the whole process. And of course, we will be joined by the Minister of Environment, the Honourable Bernard Davis. It's really an opportunity to showcase the great work that we've done. EPRA started this program from the ground up, and there was no opportunity to recycle 10 years ago. Today, we have 58 sites across the province where businesses and residents can bring their materials to us for responsible recycling. So it is a real milestone.
And we know that next generation is the one that's going to be important for recycling as we get that message out. You said in the introduction that it's been 10 years and that there was really not much of a culture of recycling in Newfoundland and Labrador during that time. As you've seen it grow, tell me a little bit about that growth and what you've seen in the province and how people are behaving with respect to that.
Absolutely. So today we do have 58 collection sites across the province, both the island portion as well as Labrador. We have 4 new sites that are in the pipeline that we're really proud of. We have a population that 81% are aware that we have this program in place, that they have these opportunities to recycle. And our program accessibility is amazing. Despite the size of the province and the remoteness, 97% of the population have an opportunity to recycle with a location within their vicinity.
And 4 more coming online. That's great.
Yes, thank you. We're really pleased with that, especially as they're in areas that were a little more remote and a little underserved. So we're really pleased about that.
So tell me a little bit about some of the challenges you have in the province, because it is a vast geography. You have got some challenging weather conditions. You've got a very short, what I would describe as summer season. And so some really inclement weather being, you know, basically on the ocean and being buffeted from many sides in lots of ways. So tell me a little bit about some of the challenges that brings.
It's an interesting place to work. You alluded to a number of things. Newfoundland truly is a large province. Newfoundland and Labrador, in terms of its land area, is larger than all the 3 other maritime provinces combined, and yet we have the lowest population density in the country. Complicating that is the fact that most of the province is located in one small area called the Avalon Peninsula, where the capital city is located. So even though we have this huge geography, we're still responsible for servicing all of it. We have few main roads. A lot of the area is, we have small remote communities that are serviced by ferries. As you go to coastal Labrador, for example, those ferries are seasonal. A lot of these communities have no roads. They're strictly reliant on ferries. and those ferries tend to operate only when ice conditions permit. So it's really, really interesting. And then, of course, we have some other areas of the province where, due to storms or snow conditions, we may not be able to collect from those areas for weeks and weeks at a time. So it's certainly interesting.
So it would mean then that in some of those remote areas, probably people aren't going out to drop things off either if the weather is bad. So you end up not getting the accumulation, and then I imagine you get surges with respect to when material does come back when weather clears up.
We really do. We do find things start to pick up in the spring after the worst of the winter conditions are over. Sure. The winter is definitely the slowest period for us. Mm-hmm. We're really busy into the fall, and then again as the weather changes, we start to slow down.
And what challenges does it bring for you from a collection perspective when you start to think about those surges? Do you have to go more frequently to locations? Do you have to react on an ad hoc basis? What happens in terms of building up inventory at some of these collection sites?
It's a little bit of both. It is more scheduled pickups. It is more ad hoc, reactive approach when people need the space in their sites, for example, and they need those materials picked up. So I think it's being flexible, and we're really fortunate. We have a lot of really good partners in our program. The locations, the drop-off sites, for example, most of those sites have been with us since the beginning. So they're well-versed in the program, and so we've worked together really well. They know what to expect in working with us and what those ebbs and flows will look like.
All right, so now that you've collected all this material and you get it back to some centralized location, then what happens to it?
Then the real fun starts.
Okay.
So there is no processing of those materials in Newfoundland. So for us, we are reliant on processors on the mainland, whether Nova Scotia, for example, or whether in Quebec. So our materials are typically consolidated and then shipped to those processors for end-of-life recycling.
And I guess one of the reasons for that is the investment that's required to do that kind of processing. The fact is, I guess, that really the two central provinces in the country are the only ones that have the million-dollar shredding machines that are required to take material and turn it back into core elements. And so as you start to shred that material, it becomes important to make sure that it is being processed properly and things are being sorted so that it can be reused. Do you have any statistics with respect to that reuse factor and kind of how much of the material you collect can be put back into products again?
Our data indicates that 97 to 98% of what we collect can be recaptured and put back into the supply chain. So that's an amazing number. And again, a number that when we're out there and we're talking to some of those businesses or some of those residents and wanting them to work with us, that's a number that really resonates with them.
So tell me a little bit about some of the northern and remote communities and the challenges they bring.
I guess the best example would be some of the coastal communities in northern Labrador. These communities have no roads. They are serviced by a seasonal coastal ferry. When the ice flows arrive, these communities are completely isolated. The ferries don't run. Again, as I mentioned, it's very seasonal. So we host a number of collection events with these communities, typically in the spring or early fall. Materials are collected, put into sea containers, placed on these ferries, and then shipped to one of the more populated areas in Labrador, a location that's on the Trans-Labrador Highway. Once the materials arrive, they're weighed, they're packaged, they're put on a trailer, and then they are driven across the Trans-Labrador Highway over the Quebec border to our processor. So there is certainly some logistical challenges in getting some of that material.
So moving things by land from Labrador right through into Quebec, as opposed to from the island where you're using sea, basically, containers to ship things to the port in Montreal. That's a much different route in terms of the way you would think about moving those materials.
It is. Typically, we did bring everything to Newfoundland and consolidate it, but we have found that consolidating it in the Happy Valley location and then shipping it directly across the Trans-Labrador Highway into Quebec was a better system for us.
And are there challenges with that highway in terms of winter weather and access? Is it open year-round?
It is open year-round, but again, given the nature of the weather in Newfoundland, one good storm could be shut down for days. And it is quite remote. The distance between some of these communities is quite vast.
That's fantastic. It really is. When you think about the challenges and what is required for you to be able to collect and recycle electronics in such a remote location, it really does give a sense, I think, to everyone of the challenge that you have, what's required in order to recycle these electronics, and how we can do a better job. And I know that one of the things that you do is constantly look at the logistics network to see if there are improvements you can make. One of the things that you've done recently, and maybe you could talk about, is the changes you've made with respect to the collection network kind of in the eastern part of the province, mm-hmm. and some of the efficiencies that that's driven for you.
Certainly. Our previous program had been in place for a number of years, so we did want to have a review and see what opportunities existed to streamline things, improve services for residents, some cost efficiencies even within the program. So we have started doing a few different things. We have different consolidation points actually across the province now. And instead of all materials being shipped out from the Port of St. John's into the Port of Montreal, mm-hmm. We're actually using backhaul routes on trailers and shipping it to the mainland that way. So that was one really economical way for us to realize some of those cost efficiencies. Then, of course, we really had a hard look at sort of the Northern Peninsula component of the province as well as the West Coast. And we started to consolidate there and then ship into Nova Scotia. So there was really no need for us to be consolidating everything on the East Coast and then shipping when we had a perfectly good opportunity to ship from the West Coast and then, again, realize those cost savings. And it's a better level of service for people.
Well, and it has a very good environmental impact as well. I mean, one of the things that you take advantage of when you're doing a backhaul, and a backhaul, for those that don't know, is basically a trailer that's been shipped somewhere, dropped off material and goods, and then is driving back empty. And so by taking advantage of that empty trailer, which is returning back to the location that you need goods moved, you're not using environmental impact in a negative way, but rather in a positive way, because the trailer has to go back anyways. And so rather than dedicating a special trailer that is just going back in that direction and paying the extra cost, you're going to have an environmental positive impact as well.
Absolutely. Again, you know, when you're reviewing some of those logistics, it's all about recognizing those opportunities and those efficiencies.
Tell me now a little bit about what happens with the next 10 years. So we've talked about the 10-year anniversary and the celebration, all of which is great news. But we've got another decade coming. We're just beginning it now in terms of Newfoundland's history with recycling electronics. And tell me what you see there.
I think there's definitely growth opportunities for us. One thing that I really started to do in my tenure with the organization is trying to develop closer relationships with the various regional waste management authorities and really trying to work closer with them to either capitalize on some of their existing infrastructure or the information and knowledge that they have in their own areas that can help to guide, influence our program. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that we're really going to be focusing on. Also, a big focus for me is going to be working with the business community, making them aware that, you know, this program is there. In many cases, they've perhaps already paid for it with the environmental mm-hmm. handling fee, sure. if they've bought the materials already, and that, you know, we have this secure end-of-life recycling program that they can avail of. So I do think the partnership component is something that I will be working very hard on over the next 10 years, again, increasing sites and increasing awareness and participation in our program.
So we were talking a little bit about data security and how that works. Certainly for the central provinces, fairly easy. If you think about Ontario, you put a lock on a trailer and you know that things are going to get to a processor, which is fairly close by. The challenges are a little different when you talk about Newfoundland and Labrador. Tell me about how you secure that material to make sure that it gets safely to a destination where it can be deconstructed.
Once the material arrives at the depots are well versed in the fact that that's material that is meant for recycling. So the first component is really an employee training and understanding that that material must be secured and that all the materials collected must be stored. Yeah. in either an inside location or an outside locked location. So that's really sort of the first component. From there, once the materials are consolidated and sent to our recycling processor on the mainland, they're shipped via secure trailers. So there's a seal on the back of the trailer that will not be opened until it arrives at the recycling processor. So we do take steps to make sure that, again, we have that security, we have that chain of custody component until the material arrives at the recycler, and then we're provided with a certificate of destruction indicating that every skid on that load that was brought in has been destroyed.
That's great. Thank you. It does give you good peace of mind to understand that that is how material is being handled, and that people can rest assured that when they drop off their cell phone or their computer or their printer, for that matter, that it will be looked after properly and that they can be assured that it will be destroyed and turned into new material without any risk to them.
Absolutely.
That's terrific. I think one of the other things, and I know I hear this from regulators on a regular basis, is that there are products as well that we don't currently recycle. And one of the things that we do as an organization operationally is just to ensure that whatever is obligated, we make sure it's dealt with in a proper fashion. But there are certainly conversations going on with the government about the fact that they're looking to, I'll say, mirror some of the activity that's gone on in the rest of Atlantic Canada with other obligated products that could be brought into the fold and become required to recycle within Newfoundland and Labrador. Is that something that you see within the next 10 years as well?
I do. We have had some conversations about the likelihood of adding a small appliance component to our program, and that would be fantastic. Again, there are products that everyone has access to, their everyday products, and it would be amazing to provide that recycling opportunity for them. We had a program addition back in 2021, so I would like to see a new one coming for us relatively soon.
Well, Michelle, this has been terrific today. I have really enjoyed speaking with you. It is great to know that Newfoundland and Labrador is doing such a good job, and we have now, obviously, recycling across all of the provinces in Canada. Newfoundland and Labrador, with a 10-year anniversary, is celebrating what is a really great accomplishment. And I personally look forward to coming down and helping celebrate with you when we get down there.
Thank you.
I think it'll be a great event. And as you say, for all of the people, one of the things that we hope to do that day is, in addition to celebrating the 10 years, is to continue to send the message of how important it is to recycle end-of-life electronics, and to go to recyclemyelectronics.ca. If you want to find out where your closest location is, that's how you can find it. You go to our website, it's right there in the menu, you type in your postal code, and away you go. You can find the closest location, whether that's downtown St. John's or Gander.
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Welcome to Version is brought to you by EPRA Recycle My Electronics. To find the location nearest you, visit recyclemyelectronics.ca. The future is in your hands. Don't let it go to waste.